Well, hello, everyone. You know, I hesitate even coming up here after that because I think that is the hardest act to follow here at the feast. I'd like to take just a moment to thank everyone who has been serving at this feast, from those 4 and 5 year olds and on up at the children's choir to the 90 plus year olds who have been praying for every activity, whether they're able to make it to those activities or not. The feast would not be what it is without all of you. Our focus here today is on the family. And our family consists of newborns to those over 100 years old. Whether you are barely old enough to listen and understand what is being said here today, or if you are Ancient of Days, whether this is your first feast, or you have celebrated 50 or more feasts, this message is for you. See, it doesn't matter how old you are. There are still things that you want to do before you die. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So whether young or old, I do have a question for you to begin. What's on your bucket list? What thing or things do you want to do or accomplish before you die? Bucket lists have become popular these days. I hear people say things like, well, that's on my bucket list, or I need to add that to my bucket list. And sometimes I hear, well, I can cross that off my bucket list. Maybe you've done something here at the feast that you had on your bucket list. There are articles, books, and even movies about bucket lists. There are websites that are devoted to bucket lists, bucketlist.org, where they claim to have the most popular bucket lists, bucketlistjourney.net, where they have over 800 ideas or things to do before you die. Bucketlist.net, where you can make your own bucket list and share your life goals with others. And bucketlist.org, 10,000 things to do before you die. And the list goes on and on and on. Type bucket list into Google sometime. You'll come up with over 40 million hits. Not too long ago, I ran across an article talking about the ultimate bucket list. This list, they said, included 225 things everyone should do before they die. What kind of things, you might ask? Help out a random stranger who is in distress. Learn to sail, cross a country on a bicycle, attend the Olympic Games, visit the birthplace or gravesite of a cultural icon, go to the Super Bowl, watch the sunset on Santorini, Greece, get passionate about a cause, and is there any greater cause than what is pictured behind me here today? Drive on the German Autobahn, see the Northern Lights, visit Mount Rushmore, stand in the crown of the Statue of Liberty, ride on a cable car in San Francisco, tour the White House, learn CPR, watch a movie at a drive-in theater. Do they still have those? Get married, take a helicopter tour over Kauai, ride a bicycle, visit Auschwitz, tour Hagia Sophia, help someone else fulfill a goal, buy a house, visit Jerusalem's old city, walk the Golden Gate Bridge, see a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse, visit Niagara Falls, visit Yosemite Valley, see Old Faithful, and tour Hearst Castle. Now, of course, there are another 200 more items or so on the list, but I wanted to give you an idea of some of the things that they included on that list of 225 things that everyone should do before they die. And I did so by including some of those that I have been fortunate enough to have accomplished. Why do people make bucket lists? Well, there are all sorts of reasons, I suppose. In looking at this ultimate bucket list of 225 things to do before you die, I ran across a blog at 225things.blogspot.com where a young lady writes about why she wants to complete this list. She writes, "One of my favorite things to do when I am bored is to go on StumbleUpon. I was stumbling the other day and found this list, 225 things to do before you die. I am 20 years old, and at this time it seems like everyone else has got their life plans worked out. My best friend wants to be a doctor, another a lawyer. People know what they are good at, what they are majoring in, but I am just confused. Growing up, people told me that the ideal job is when someone pays you lots of money to do something you love. I love so many things, and when I look into my future, I don't see anything. I don't have a clear picture in my head. However, I know I want to do something with my life, and I want it to matter." I think we can relate to that last sentiment, at least. I want to do something in my life, and I want it to matter. But I do think we can find something better than to tick off 225 things on this list. However, that's the way she decided she needed to start. This past August, I ran across an article about a 5-year-old girl whose parents made a visual bucket list. Things they want their daughter to see over the next few years. I'd like to read a portion of that Associated Press article published on foxnews.com. This is from Belleville, Ohio. It says, "The parents of a 5-year-old in central Ohio have created a visual bucket list for their daughter after she was diagnosed with a condition that will eventually cause her to go blind. Elizabeth, Lizzie Myers, of Belleville, was recently diagnosed with Usher syndrome type 2, a rare genetic condition that causes hearing and progressive vision loss and can result in blindness. Her parents have about 5 to 7 years to get her out and see things, particularly at night," her father Steve Myers told the News Journal. "Otherwise, it would be too late to do things like this," he said, "view the night sky or catch lightning bugs." So some reasons that people create bucket lists may be better than others. I have to say that most of the bucket lists that I've seen are missing something. If these are supposed to be life goals, shouldn't there be more to them? So I decided to ask some people if they had a bucket list, and if so, what was on it. And I started by asking the teens and young adults who were working at Camp Buckeye this summer. I asked them to write down one or two things from their bucket list. So here are some of the things they want to do in their lifetime: scuba dive the Great Barrier Reef, scuba dive in Hawaii, go skydiving, go indoor skydiving, learn how to play the piano, see Les Mis on Broadway, work on a movie, create a short film, meet someone famous. I guess I can't help them tick that one off, can I? Live in Italy and own a vineyard. Now, that person I'd like to know. Try dragon fruit. Visit the Caribbean. See Scotland and Stonehenge. Tour London. Go to every continent. Publish a book. Go water skiing. Learn how to surf. Visit the Grand Canyon. Go bungee jumping. I can't wrap my head around that one. Learn another language. Serve in another country. Get married. And by the way, get married was a male who was 16 years old. So there are some guys out there that are thinking about it. Now, these last two, serve in another country and get married, I think those are worthy goals, aren't they? That is more like what I would expect to see on a list of life's goals. You know, God does want us to consider our future and what we want to do with our lives. For those of you who went to camp 2 years ago, do you remember what the theme of camp was? It comes from Ecclesiastes 12:1, and it was, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth." It goes on to say, "Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" God is telling us that we should look ahead and determine what is important in life. "But whatever you do, don't forget me," God says. "Include me in everything that you do, starting right now." So that being the case, when we make a list of things that we want to do in life, shouldn't some of those things, the most important things, be related to our spiritual lives? See, God says it doesn't matter what our age is, we need to remember Him. So what are some things that we might want to consider putting on our bucket list? Please turn to Philippians chapter 2. When considering goals in life, I think this is a good place to start. There are several items here that we should consider placing on our bucket list. As we think about our life's goals, the question is, are there things that we must do before we die? And I believe that there are. For me, one of those things is found here in Philippians 2, verse 3. Paul writes, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." See, first of all, it says that we need to put aside our own selfish ambitions and conceits. That isn't always easy to do, is it? Are you always the smartest person in the room? Do you know more than anyone else there? Do you have all the ideas? Do you always want to be the one in charge? See, maybe we need to listen more. Listen to what others have to say. Expect to learn from others. Expect others to be able to teach you things, to show you things, to help you to reach your ultimate goal. I must admit I struggle with this at times. See, I'm willing to admit I always think I'm right. I know I'm not always right. But you know, if we have an opinion, we think we're right, don't we? And we think we're right until someone else has something to say and we listen to what they have to say. I need to remember to always be willing to learn from others. It is the only way to continue to learn and to grow. And that's what we're called to do. Now, we could spend the whole message on this particular topic, but we do have some other things we need to look at. So I just want to look at a brief passage here in Philippians that shows what Paul's attitude and desire was for others. We find it in chapter 1, verses 21 through 24. Paul, if you remember, is writing from prison, and he doesn't know what his fate will be. So he writes this to the Philippians. He says, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." In other words, he's saying, if it were up to me, I'd be finished. I'm ready. But if God thinks that you still need me for some reason, I will do whatever is best for you. They were more important to Paul than to whatever he might have to face in his own life. Oh, that we could all esteem others better than ourselves. The next item we might want to place on our bucket list is found back in chapter 2, this time verse 4. It is similar, but different from the one we just looked at, but it is just as important. Philippians 2, verse 4. "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." I think that's something that we all understand. We are to take care of those who have needs here at the feast and throughout the year. God gave instructions to ancient Israel in several places about doing that. I'd like you to hold your places here in Philippians 2 because we'll be back. But I do want you to turn to Leviticus 23 for a moment, because this is one place where God does give instructions to Israel about taking care of others, and he does so in the midst of instruction about the feasts. Leviticus 23, verse 22. Here God says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God." It is God's expectation that we take care of one another. An interesting thing about this, however, is that when you help someone else, I think you get more out of it than they do. This is a lesson I learned long ago when we teens were asked to serve at a Mother's Day lunch for the widows of our church. And I'm pretty sure that those of us who served that day had a lot more fun than those we were serving. And they had a great time as well. If you don't believe me, try it. Okay, back to Philippians 2 once again. This time we're going to read verses 12 and 13. Another one of the items that we need to consider putting on our bucket list. Paul writes, therefore, verse 12, Philippians 2, verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, this one is a bit interesting. The first two that we looked at were certainly focused on others. This one, seemingly, however, is focused on us. But what is it that we are doing in working out our own salvation? I think it's all of the other things that we are talking about here today, the important things, the life goals that we have or should have if we want to be in God's kingdom. We do, however, need to keep in mind that each one of us must do our part. Let's hold our places here again and turn quickly to Ezekiel 14, because here in Ezekiel 14, we are told that we too must act. We can't just sit here and do nothing. We can't rely on anybody else. There is a part that each one of us must play. See what God has to say here through Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 14, and we'll be reading verses 12 through 18. Ezekiel writes, the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, sounds a lot like our country these days, doesn't it? It says, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God. If I cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, only they would be delivered, and the land would be desolate. Or if I bring a sword to that land and say, sword, go through the land, and I cut off man and beast from it, even though these three were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, but only they themselves would be delivered. In many ways, this goes along with what we read earlier in Ecclesiastes 12, doesn't it? In everything that we do, we cannot forget God. We cannot lose sight of what our ultimate goal is. We've already heard some messages here at the feast that talk about how we're going to be judged by the things that we do, each of us individually. So we'll move on. Back to Philippians chapter 2 one more time. This time we'll be reading verse 14. Philippians 2, verse 14. We heard a little bit about this subject in the previous message, but let's read it here. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. I don't think there's a lot we need to say about that, is there? We can read story after story about how the Israelites complained on their way out of Egypt to the promised land. I do want to turn to one scripture here, or a few verses, just over a page or so, to Philippians chapter 4, verses 11-14, because again, it shows that Paul was speaking from the heart. He understood the things that he was talking about here. Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I wish I had conquered this the way that Paul had. Wouldn't life be better for all of us if we were all able to accomplish this? To do all things without complaining and disputing. Let's go back to chapter 2 once again. This is the last item for our bucket list here in Philippians 2. And like the others, it is much easier to say than to do. This time, verses 1 and 2, Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Again, there isn't a lot more we can say about this. Well, there is a lot more we could say about this, I'm sure, but I think you do understand the concept. It doesn't say that we have to be exactly alike or believe and understand exactly the same things, but we do need to be like-minded in doing our best to be like Jesus Christ, to work together, to help one another, to reach our ultimate goal. We have really only scratched the surface of things that we should consider including on our bucket list. However, there are just two more that we need to consider today. To introduce the next one, I want to read a portion of another article that I read this summer dealing once again with a bucket list. This one I pulled from usatoday.com and is titled, "Teen Fulfilled Her Bucket List by Sacrificing Herself to Save a Friend's Life." It was written by Jaleesa Jones on July 13, 2015. It says, "A 17-year-old Connecticut teen is inspiring acts of kindness after her death earlier this month. On July 2nd, 2015, Rebecca Townsend attended a fireworks show in Danbury, Connecticut with her friend, Ben Arnie. As the two were walking back, a vehicle struck them. According to BuzzFeed News, Ben told the family that he remembered Rebecca pushing him out of the way just before the impact. Ben was hospitalized. Rebecca was killed. After Rebecca's death, the family said they were reminiscing in her bedroom when they discovered a bucket list. The list was assigned to Rebecca, who was slated to attend the University of Notre Dame this fall. During her sophomore year at Immaculate High School in Danbury, Connecticut, and it was returned to her after graduation. The family shared it on Facebook. December 2012. Dear me, so I guess I'm a senior now. Wow, that didn't come out cool. I'm not cool. Oops. Well, anyway, hi. Currently, I'm a little sophomore. I'm 5'2". I weigh 98 pounds. Maybe I'll grow a little bit in the next 2 years. So I haven't had a boyfriend yet, sadly. I really hope by senior year I'll have a cute one. I'm not being shallow. He should be cute as a plus. I think I want to go to college in a city. Maybe I'll go to Fordham or Boston College. Bucket list. Kiss in the rain. Fly to Spain. Save a life. Yeah, I don't know what I want to do before I die. So my friends right now are Sammy, Jess, Emily, Drew, Lauren, Emma, and Andrea, and Katie. My best friends not at this school are Molly, DeVry, and Anna. I love to play on the volleyball team. I really want to be in one of our school musicals or get a lead in the play. Well, this was homework, and I'm doing this the day of. Oops. Maybe by the time I read this, I'll stop procrastinating. Ha ha. Like that would happen. By me, love past Rebecca. Rebecca's sister, the article goes on, Victoria Townsend, told BuzzFeed News that they traveled to Spain together as a family and that Rebecca kissed her boyfriend in the rain. But it was not until they found the note all laid out for them on her bed that they realized she had fulfilled her last wish. Please turn to John 15. There are so many different ways that we might save a life. I know there are some doctors and nurses in the room. Last year, at the feast in Panama City Beach, my sister-in-law, who happens to be a registered nurse, performed CPR on a man at the beach. He was not there for the feast, but he had passed out not too far away from where she was, and she performed CPR until the paramedics came and took over. We still don't know exactly what happened, whether he lived or not, but she did her best to save his life, not knowing who he was or what happened, but she did her best. Can you plan something like that? I suppose to a certain extent that we can, to train to give CPR, to be a doctor or a nurse. But look at what Jesus says here in John 15, verse 13, because this applies to every single one of us here. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Not only did he do this for us, but the expectation is that we would be willing to do it for someone else. In many ways, to do this, it involves everything else that we've talked about so far. You cannot do this unless you are willing to put others first. Let's turn to James 5. See, James tells us that we can save someone's life, and we all need to prepare to do so. While you turn there, I'll also remind you of what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He writes, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." We are expected to live our lives as a sacrifice, and that includes giving of ourselves for others. Here in James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, James writes, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." I think one of the greatest compliments that I have ever received was from the mother of one of my best friends from high school. I hadn't seen her for 20 years or so, and I found out where she was, and I called to see if I could get in touch with her, and instead of reaching my friend, I reached her mother, who was living with them. And she told me that her daughter had become a Christian because of me. I can't think of anything greater that we can do in life than to help others to become a Christian. There are many ways, as I said, that we can save lives, but we are training to save the lives of many today. That's a big reason, or a big part of the reason, that we're here today, isn't it? And again, there's so much more that we could talk about in regard to this, but we must move on. There is one more item that we need to look at before we end. And to do that, I want to read a few more of the bucket list items that I was given from our teens and young adults. One said that she would like to hitchhike across the U.S., visit every state, go to Japan, visit Australia, visit my homeland, Germany, travel around the world, traipse through Hezekiah's tunnel, visit Everest Base Camp, go horseback riding on the beach, feed a penguin, ride a cable car in San Francisco, go on a road trip with friends, walk the Mackinac Bridge, walk the Sydney Harbor Bridge, attend Comic-Con, fly first class, see the Northern Lights, get married, help out at a charity event, get baptized. Get baptized. Now there is a goal that I can certainly get behind. We have talked about several things that we should include on our bucket list, life goals that we need to achieve. Basically, what we've talked about are spiritual goals that we need to achieve in this lifetime. So what should you do? How do you start? Well, it's interesting, but in Acts chapter 2, Peter and the rest of the apostles were asked that very same question. So let's turn and look at that. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 39. This took place on Pentecost. The first Pentecost after Jesus was crucified and the Holy Spirit was given. And Peter had preached an incredible sermon that inspired others to ask this question. They asked, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, or let's go back to verse 37. It says, "Now when they had heard this," Peter's sermon, "they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" How do you get started? Here's the answer. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" It then goes on to say, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Now I know many of you in this auditorium today have been baptized. You understand this. But we have a lot of young folks who need to hear this as well. This is the way to get started. This is probably the first goal you need to put on your bucket list, to consider being baptized. It is the start to receive God's Holy Spirit. Now, our focus and our reason for being here at the feast is that we want to be a part of the kingdom of God as children of God. Therefore, our life goals should be aligned with that purpose. It doesn't matter whether we are young or old, whether we have been baptized or not yet baptized. When we think about our life goals, these are things that we should have on our bucket list. Physical experiences and activities are fine, but the goals we really need to complete are those that lead to eternal life. I read Ecclesiastes 12:1 earlier. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. But I want to end the way that the book of Ecclesiastes ends. You might say that Solomon had his own bucket list. A bucket list to end all bucket lists, because he had the means, the power, the ability to do anything that he wanted to do, and he tried it all. And after doing that, here's the conclusion that he came to. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. May you all accomplish all of your life's goals, especially the spiritual goals, the ones that lead to eternal life.